This age is called Kali Yuga. So in this age, no one has owned any good qualities. According to Shastra, everyone has bad qualities. So how can you approach the Supreme Lord in this age? It's not possible. We just don't have the adhikari nor the, what we say, the sukriti to actually approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, is made approach to himself in the form of a himself that is so pleasing, so sweet, so direct, and so easy. And that's why he's called Karuna Avatar. He's both very merciful. And Srila Prabhupada would say, if you want to understand the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you may be a great scholar of the Vedas, and you may have great intelligent abilities, and you may be endowed with so many good qualities and characteristics of learning and speaking, then apply that and all those abilities to try to describe in whatever way you can the mercy or the kindness of the of Lord Chaitanya. And Prabhupada ends it by saying, you can't do it. It's not possible. His mercy is unbelievably deep and unbelievably broad. That means it goes everywhere, and it goes completely to the most fallen of the fallen. We have the story of Jagai and Mare, we all know, who are sinners in the, what we say, the supreme sense of the word. Their sinful activities were so profuse that even Yamaraj could not keep up recording them. And all his secretaries, including Chandragupta, who was the leader of the recorders of Mahaprabhu, Jagai Marai's sins, they couldn't keep up, and they hired 30 new scribes to continue to calculate and to note down the sinful activities in Jagai and Marai. And in the pastime, we hear how Chandragupta goes up to Yamaraj and says, my dear master, I quit. I can't do it. Their sins, we hired 30 new scribes. They're working around the clock. They're 1 month behind, and they can't, and they're all exhausted. The sins of Jagai and Mari are not calculable. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda wiped them out in within a few moments and gave them love of God. We can fathom that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is just as available then, now as it was then. And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati comments on this particular pastime, and he says something very amazing. He says, Lord Chaitanya saving Jagai and Madai is not simply a story from the scriptures. It's not simply a historical event. It is the actual feature of Lord Chaitanya's mercy that's going on today. Lord Chaitanya is distributing his mercy through his devotees and also directly himself as he's inspiring us in the Sankirtan movement of the holy names of the Lord. So Mahaprabhu is still very much with us as much as we want him. And Prabhupada would say, when there is a fenceless kirtan, that means glorification of the Lord and everybody simply trying to glorify the Lord in the kirtan, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally present. Not just theoretically or imaginatingly, he is personally present in that kirtan. So this is Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately, and it's very much prominent in our local area, the people don't really understand Mahaprabhu or what he came to give and how important he is in our relationship with Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada would say, we cannot approach Radha and Krishna in this age. It's not possible. It's not possible. But only because of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process of bhakti. And he's giving the process, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, with enthusiasm. Offer your food in devotion and accept the remnants as the mercy of the Lord. And associate with and serve Vaishnavas. That is Mahaprabhu's entire process of devotional service. And one who does that with enthusiasm, or eagerness, we might say, actually can approach the supreme realm of Vrindavan Dham. Radharani becomes pleased, because Radharani has taken her position within the personality of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. So the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his glories, his associates, are all simply wonderful. I'm going to try, as it says, you know, it's like a dwarf trying to catch the moon. It's not a dwarf catching the moon in my case, it's a blind dwarf trying to catch the moon. Try to somehow, by his mercy, speak a little bit about his glories in the next 3 days. So today and tomorrow and Sunday, we're going to try to help us understand a little bit more about this person called Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And maybe our appreciation will deepen even more, and our enthusiasm to practice devotional service will reach higher and higher levels. Because he is so kind. When Srila Prabhupada came to the Atlanta, Georgia temple in America in 1975, in that particular temple, the altar arrangement is quite unique, where Radha and Krishna are on the right side, and Jagannath is on the left side, and Sri Sri Gaur Nittai are in the middle. Beautiful big brass deities of Gaur Nittai. And it was a Sankirtan temple. Practically the whole temple was out on Sankirtan every day distributing books. And they were practically leading the country in book distribution. So Prabhupada came. And he, as Yosi does, offered his obeisances to the Lord, and then he sat down in his Vyasasana. And then he started to begin a bhajan, Paramakaruna Bahudui Jani. Nitai Gaura Chanda, Sabayaputar, Sarosiro Mani, Kevala Ananda Kanda. Prabhupada didn't get far. He got a few words. He stopped. He became overwhelmed with emotion. Couldn't say a word. The entire place became silent. It felt like thousands of years had gone by, but it was only 1 minute. Prabhupada was deep in remembering Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and overwhelmed with emotion, he couldn't speak. And Prabhupada did that a few times, but this time it was, and the temple room was packed. It was so packed that devotees were outside, standing by the windows, looking in, just to hear Prabhupada. It was so crowded. And when Prabhupada went into that ecstasy, everything stopped. And sometimes we say pin drop silence. If a pin dropped, you could hear it. It was so quiet. Everyone was taken in by Srila Prabhupada's emotional expression that it was like time froze. Nothing happened. And finally, which was only a couple moments, Prabhupada came out. And with tears coming out of his eyes, he said, "They are so kind. They are so kind. They are so kind." He repeated it, and he couldn't speak. And then he said, "Have kirtan." That was his lecture. He couldn't speak. Now, Prabhupada, we know how deep Prabhupada is in his love for Krishna. But he exhibited it very rarely, because he didn't want to make a show. Because people would somehow try to imitate that. And that's pretense. But Prabhupada couldn't restrain himself this time. It was too much. His love was flowing out, and his mind was just absorbed in thinking how wonderful these two brothers are, Nitai Gaur. And I was in New Vrindavan at the time, and I wanted to go. I didn't go, but the devotees who did go gave me the report back. And they said that it was amazing. We really felt really close to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after this. It was just so powerful. Because we learn what is real devotion from those who have what we say full devotion. Well, that was Prabhupada. So we can't really understand, because Krishna is the greatest in all categories. Prabhupada used to say, his love, he's the best in giving love. He's the best in expressing anger. If he gets angry, forget it. Everything's destroyed. But he's also the best in giving mercy. And so one can never understand the mercy of Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are many, many stories in our movement, how people have come to this movement so wretched and so downfallen and so unable to even function materially, what to speak of having any spiritual qualities. And somehow, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have become great devotees and started distributing books and became lovers of Krishna. How that was transformed. And you can hear many, many stories. Indrajumna Maharaj tells the story of one person in France. If you ever hear that story, you will cry. And it's a long, very, very lengthy explanation of a person who they called Pigpen. He never took a bath. Never. But somehow he saw Prabhupada and wanted Prabhupada's association. I don't want to go into all the details because it'll take the whole class. But wanting Prabhupada's association, and the devotees were doing everything to keep him away from Prabhupada. But he did everything he could to try to get to Prabhupada. And one day he snuck into the temple. And somehow Prabhupada was there, and he ran and fell at Prabhupada's feet. And then he got up, and you know what Prabhupada did? Prabhupada rubbed his head with his hand and made him feel like one of the devotees, made him feel so welcomed. And then, of course, after that, he changed, actually became a book distributor, right, and went out on Sankirtan. And all he could ever say was, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. He had one mantra, Prabhupada. And one who chants the holy name of Srila Prabhupada, how pleased Krishna is. Because Krishna loves his pure devotee more than anything. So this is one example of a beautiful story. And there were thousands. I was in New Vrindavan. And anybody knows the history of New Vrindavan will know that if it was classified amongst some of the books in this world, it would be a banned book. It wouldn't be allowed to be read by common people or even decent people. It was so bad there in terms of how much difficulty it was and how many people came to New Vrindavan who were just like the lowest of the low. But by Prabhupada's mercy, and by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Prabhupada carries with him the full mercy of Mahaprabhu. He carries that mercy wherever he goes, and he gives that mercy to everyone who's a little bit enthusiastic to somehow or other want to change their life for the better. And Mahaprabhu is so pleased to give his mercy to anyone and everyone. It's a beautiful story. When Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he was coming to one place called Kumarkshetra. And the residents of Kumarkshetra were alerted to Mahaprabhu's coming. And they knew he was a great personality. Some of them didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some did. And so Mahaprabhu came, performed Sankirtan, and he stayed at the house of one Brahmin called the Korma Brahmin. In that village, there was a personality called Vasudev. Now, Vasudev was a leper. Now, Vasudev's leprosy was so bad that he couldn't associate with anyone. In fact, it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, or maybe in both places, that his entire body was afflicted with leprosy. And it's described that in that leprosy, all those sores in his body, they were worms living in his body. But Vasudeva was a devotee. And Vasudeva was very, very simple and very, very kind by nature. And he accepted his disease as the mercy of the Lord. And it's described that when one of the worms, you ready? Would fall from his body and fall onto the ground, he would take that worm, pick it up, and put it back where it fell from. His mind, he was not falsely humble. He was thinking, God has given my body a place for these worms to live, so they should live there. This was Vasudeva. How humble and how kind he was to a worm who was actually causing difficulty to him. When he heard, the news got around everywhere in Kumbhashekha that Mahaprabhu was coming, he wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Kurma Brahma for 4 days. And after the fourth day, he left. Vasudeva came right after Mahaprabhu's, and he came to the house of Kurma Brahma trying to find Mahaprabhu. That's described. He was gone. Vasudeva was thinking, oh my God, I am so unfortunate. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord himself, has come. I just wanted to see him. That's all. But I'm so unfortunate. I'm so wretched that I didn't even get to see him. Krishna's punishing me. Mahaprabhu, who was in the heart of all living entities, understood the mind of Vasudeva, turned around and came back. He went right to the place where Vasudeva was. I see Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Gornitai Ki Jai. Mahaprabhu went right to the place where he was. And from a distance, he saw Vasudeva. And you know what he did? Running, not walking, running up to Vasudeva with his... Mahaprabhu's big. He was about 2 meters tall. Mahaprabhu wasn't one of us, you know, like midgets from the Kali Yuga. He was about 2 meters tall. His arms were so long that they would reach his knees. And he was big. And so he grabbed Vasudeva with both arms and hugged him, embraced him. You could imagine how Vasudeva felt. No, you can't imagine. And when that happened, something amazing happened. Of course, it may not be amazing, but for Vasudeva it was. His entire body was completely clean. All the leprosy was gone and he had a beautiful body. Tears of ecstasy welled in his eyes and he was feeling mixed emotions. One of the emotions was he was feeling, oh my dear Lord, you have touched my wretched body, and I've gotten all these sores all touching your body. How can I live after this? He was thinking, I've offended the Lord. But he didn't. He was feeling so bad because his body touched the Lord's body. Mahaprabhu wasn't feeling like that. He was seeing the devotion in the heart of Vasudeva. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He doesn't see anything material. He just sees that love or that eagerness. Even if there's no love, he sees the eagerness. That's Mahaprabhu. And Vasudev was thinking, now, my Lord, he spoke. He said, my Lord, you have shown me your mercy. Now what will happen to me? I will become proud. Because we know, sometimes it happens, and sometimes it happens, quite happens a lot, when we get some mercy, something wonderful happens, we do something wonderful, the devotees say, Jai. Like I told him how nice his kirtan is. And he's smiling, and it was nice. But we shouldn't think, oh, I'm such a good kirtan leader, that, gee, I made the devotees so happy with my kirtan. Actually, it's me. We should always remember that everything comes by the mercy of the Lord. And whatever abilities we have, and whatever success we have in executing our devotional service, is mercy. It's mercy. So Vasudeva understood that clearly, and he said, now I will become proud. Now I will become proud, because you have shown me special favor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something which is really significant for all of us. He said, my dear Vasudev, just incessantly chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant always, and you will never become afflicted by false pride. And that's the message, that sometimes when we feel proud, what we say without any reason, or even if we have a reason to become proud, take shelter of the holy name. Of course, Mahaprabhu was saying, don't stop. Chant all the time. Chant the holy name. And he said, you'll never be afflicted by this pride because Krishna is there in his holy name. So that's a nice message for all of us to remember. And we can just, because we're thanking the Lord for the opportunity to serve the Lord. And by glorifying the Lord, it's the best way to thank the Lord. Glorification of the Lord is a way to appreciate what the Lord has given us. It's also a way to show our love for the Lord. But it's an element of opening our heart and saying, thank you for giving me a chance to serve. Thank you for allowing me to somehow or other please the devotees by my service. That's mercy. That's Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was there in the house of the Korma Brahma, in the same Korma Kshetra, after 4 days he left, the Korma Brahma picked up his personal belongings, whatever he could carry, and started following Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, where are you going? He said, I'm coming with you. You have a family. I'm coming with you. I'm finished with this household life. I cannot leave you. My love for you is too much. I don't want to, if I stay here, I will die. I want to be with you. Mahaprabhu said, you have your responsibility. Take care of your family. You can't just do that. But then the Lord went on to explain how one, in any situation, can never leave the association of the Lord. He said, whoever you meet, tell him about Krishna. Whoever you meet, tell him about chanting of the holy names of the Lord. He said, if you do that, and then he said something very significant. He said, by my command, be guru, save the land. And this is significant, that any ashram, whether it's brahmachari, sannyas, grihastha, or any ashram, one can be a powerful preacher of the mercy of the Lord. Wherever one is, one does not have to change one's position. One simply has to give up those things that interfere with our devotional service. That's all. And one can become, what we say, very much favored by Mahaprabhu. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya said, if you do that, if you give this mercy to everyone and anyone, you will always have my association. you will never feel separated from me. I will always be with you. So this is wonderful, because it's a message for all of us that if we simply try to distribute this mercy to others, Mahaprabhu is there. Why? Because that's why he came. He came to give the whole world love of God. And Mahaprabhu is eager. He doesn't want a few people or even 50%. He wants everybody. He wants everyone to become a lover of Krishna. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's greedy. And he wants us to be greedy for him also. That's Mahaprabhu. But what is the mercy? The mercy is that when you do that, you'll be with Mahaprabhu always, and at the same time, you'll go back home, back to Godhead at the end of this life. So that is the message of Mahaprabhu's teaching, to become an instrument for his mercy to others. Mahaprabhu is also, sometimes he's labeled like soft as a rose, very kind and very loving. But he's also hard as a thunderbolt. Mahaprabhu said to his devotees, he was in Jagannath Puri, this is after he met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He said, I am going to travel in South India. Actually, my brother, Vishwaroop, I want to find him. But I don't want anyone to come with me. I want to go alone. The devotees were shocked. How can you go alone? First of all, you can't go. Because we love you too much and we can't tolerate your separation. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he heard that the Lord was going, he said, if you go, I'll give up my life. Well, the Lord was insistent. He wanted to go, and he wasn't going to hear any other reason why. So finally, after devotees let out all their emotions, Lord Nityananda said, how will you travel alone? You have to carry your begging bowl and your sannyas danda. How will you go? How will you carry these and chant the holy names at the same time? You need another person to carry these items for you and also to beg alms so you can have something to eat. So we have one man. He's a new man. His name is Kala Krishna Das. So take him along with you. Nityananda was very adamant. He wasn't going to let Mahaprabhu go without an associate. So Mahaprabhu said, all right. So Kala Krishna Das joined Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that his brother Vishwaroop was already gone. He knew it, but on the pretense of wanting to leave, he wanted to tour South India and preach and make the entire country Krishna consciousness. And so when he traveled, people were coming by the thousands. And he was dancing and he was chanting, and as soon as anyone saw Mahaprabhu, simply by seeing him, they were immediately attracted to him. And then he would preach and speak about the glories of Krishna and chanting of the holy names. And simply by touching their minds with his words, people would become devotees. And then they were telling everyone else, all their friends and everyone else they met about Mahaprabhu, and they would tell them about chanting. So Mahaprabhu spread throughout South India. Millions and millions and millions of people became Krishna consciousness by Mahaprabhu. And everywhere he went, this was the situation. Now, one time, he came to one area where there was this gypsy tribe called the Bhattaharis. Bhattatharis. Not Bhattaharis, but Tatharis, T-A-T-H-N. Because we have a devotee named Bhattahari, we know. But that's spelled different. B-H-A-T-T-A-T-H-A-R-I, Bhattaharis. They were a gypsy nomad tribe. And their business was to capture people by inducing them with beautiful women, bring them into their fold, and then make them one of them. And they were thieves. And dacoits. So Lord Chaitanya was in that area. And one night, the Bhadaharis came, unbeknownst to Lord Chaitanya, apparently, and they attracted the mind of Kala Krishnadas. And they led him away from Mahaprabhu's association. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he woke up, he understood the whole situation. So he went to the camp of the gypsies. And he spoke very nicely. They were all there. He said, I am a sannyasi, and you are also sannyasis. You know it's how important it is to have an assistant for traveling. So please return my assistant, Kala Krishnadas. Bhadaharis became angry at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So much so, they grabbed their weapons and were going to kill. They're going to try to kill Mahaprabhu. So they grabbed their swords and their spears and their daggers, and they charged in large numbers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to play God. He decided he can't play a sannyasi in this particular thing. So the most amazing thing happened, that all the weapons from all the Bhadaharis flew out of their hands, up in the air, and then attacked the Bhadaharis. The weapons, not being held by anyone, was yelling, they were screaming and howling. Ah! These weapons were charging them and tearing them apart. Their limbs were being cut asunder, and they were running. And Lord Chaitanya, in this whole thing, he went over and grabbed Kala Krishnadas by the hair and brought him back. When a disciple goes away, this is what you have to do. You're not getting away. Because we don't do that, but we want to. So this is Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya was very, very concerned that this person has, well, we say, left my association and been enchanted by these gypsies simply for sexual pleasure. So Mahaprabhu came, after he came back to Jagannath Puri, immediately he called his devotees and said, this man, and he told the whole story, I have no use for him anymore. You can do whatever you want with him. Kala Krishnadas was crying like a little child who had lost everything in life. His heart was broken, but Mahaprabhu didn't faze an inch. He remained strict and stern. The devotees, on behalf and leaded by Lord Nityananda, did everything they can to plead. But Mahaprabhu said, didn't bat an eyelash. And then, of course, he left. Lord Nityananda took Kala Krishnadas and gave him some service and made him feel somewhat, again, part of the devotees. But there's a very interesting point here. This is the message of this particular pastime, is that Kala Krishnadas had the personal service and association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And yet, he fell down. Now you might think, anybody with that kind of association and service, how could they ever fall down? But Mahaprabhu wanted to make this point that no matter who you are, even if you have the association of the Lord, Maya is very powerful. And this is the purports in this particular Leela that emphasize that one should never consider themselves safe. Material energy is so strong that can even take away the mind, as mentioned many times in different paths, of a person who is fixed in what we say, practicing devotional service. Maya is very strong. So this was the message that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to deliver to all of us, that one should never become lax in the execution of one's devotional service, because Maya is always there. And one great devotee in our movement gave a beautiful class saying, Maya knows exactly where you are weak. You have a weak spot. You all know it. Everybody knows their weak spot. Whatever it is, right? It's something about the material energy that's... It could be whatever. It could be the smallest thing, or it could be so many things. But Maya will find that and say, here it is. Go for it. That's Maya. Maya, as the description, Maya knows your ins, your outs. She's expert. Knows actually how to present those things to somehow or other attract your mind away from Krishna. And maybe even your life away from Krishna if you allow it. But if your mind goes, then it could be a very hard thing to bring it back again sometimes. And sometimes it doesn't come back so easy or so immediately. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to make this point that even one who has the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can also be deviated in their devotional service. So that was Kala Krishna Das. Mahaprabhu loved kirtan. In fact, wherever there was kirtan, Mahaprabhu would dance. Tomorrow we're going to tell the beautiful story, a pastime of Lord Chaitanya marching on the Chankasi's house. And that story in Chaitanya Bhagavat takes up 746 verses. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's only, I think, maybe 100 verses or more. And Chaitanya Bhagavat is told in detail. Vrindavan Das tells so how much Lord Chaitanya loved kirtan and how much Lord Chaitanya wanted kirtan. And it says that if you want to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just have kirtan. And Prabhupada would say, you might be home sitting by yourself or maybe one or two friends. You might be talking all kinds of things. Just have kirtan. And immediately Mahaprabhu is pleased. We can always have kirtan. One person, two persons, three persons singing. And the Lord is there in the name, chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Of course, when we come together as devotees and have wonderful sankirtan, then when you're in the kirtan, you just think, that's it. There's nothing else. The world has stopped. We don't... Kirtan is so absorbing, and that's Mahaprabhu's way of purifying the entire world and giving one the higher taste, the holy name. So Mahaprabhu would love kirtan. So one day he said to his devotees, you know, every day we're going out and performing kirtan, but you know what we're doing at night? We're sleeping. He said, let's now begin kirtan in the house of Sri Vastakur every evening. But this will be a little different. Only those devotees that were completely pure in heart and had no other tinge of materialism can take part in these kirtans. So Mahaprabhu had a select group of people to come on these kirtans. And Sri Vas, of course, and Mukunda would sing, Advaitacharya would be there dancing, and many of the other intimate associates of the Lord. And then Mukunda would usually lead the kirtan. And every time he'd lead, Mahaprabhu immediately started to dance. And he would dance. And he would dance the whole night. And there would be different leaders, and Mahaprabhu would just dance and dance and dance. And no one else was allowed in that kirtan. It was very, what we say, closed. So one day, this Brahmin boy, he had heard about Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to see Mahaprabhu's dancing. Can you imagine seeing Mahaprabhu dance? What would it be like to see this person who is 2 meters high, whose body is all golden, dressed in yellow garments, whose smile covers his whole face, whose eyes, whose eyes, is it, his huge. His lotus eyes go all the way to the side of his. He's so beautiful. Gaurasundar. Gaurasundar. He's so beautiful. Krishna's beautiful, but this is Krishna and Radha in one person. Wow. I mean, devotees, when they were with him, they couldn't take their eyes off him. They couldn't take their mind off him. They couldn't take anything. It was like he was the cynosure of their attention. So Mahaprabhu would dance, and Mukunda would sing. So this boy wanted to come, and he was very austere. He practiced austerity. He only drank milk. That was his austerity. And he came to Srivas and said, "Srivas, can you allow me to come in? I want to see Nimai's dancing." He was known as Nimai Pandit. And Srivas said, "Well, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, he doesn't allow anybody to come in, but it's meant. But I can see you're a very wonderful devotee, and you're very austere. You can come, but you have to hide. Because Mahaprabhu finds he's not going to allow you to stay. So you hide." So the kirtan began. And as soon as the kirtan began, Lord Chaitanya danced. And as soon as the dancing began, he stopped. He looked around, he called Srivas. "Srivas, what's wrong? I'm not feeling my normal ecstasy. Is there someone in here that doesn't belong here?" "No, my lord. Everyone's here. But actually, there is one person. He is a very..." "Get him out of here immediately." And then the boy ran, and he fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Who do you think you are? You think you can get Krishna simply by drinking milk? You think Krishna is that cheap?" And therefore, Lord Chaitanya was very stern. And then the boy just turned around and left and started walking out. And while he was walking out, although being chastised pretty strongly by Mahaprabhu, he said, he was thinking, not didn't say, he was thinking, I did get to see his dancing for a few minutes. And he's so beautiful. I'm very fortunate. And he chastised me too. And he felt so happy. And while he was walking out, of course, Mahaprabhu's in the heart of all living beings. So he called Srivas, call him back. Call him back. So the boy came back. And then again, he offered his obeisances. And the Lord said, "You know, give up this milk drinking." You know, people think I can get God by austerity. But what did you know, look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is the austerity? Take prasad. I mean, is that a hard one? I mean, is that a tough rule to follow? Mahaprabhu says, "Take prasad." Take prasad to your full satisfaction. But then chant and dance and do some seva. Don't go to sleep. That's not the idea. So Mahaprabhu has made this movement so wonderful that it's chanting, dancing, taking prasad and reading wonderful books about the glories of the Lord. And so he gave us this message that severe austerities do not really attract the mind of the Lord, or do not give us what we say, devotion to the Lord. And that boy actually became one of the associates of Mahaprabhu. He actually was allowed to associate regularly. Another time, Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law, she was in the house, and she wanted to see Lord Chaitanya's dancing. So Srivas said, "Well, you can't do that." No, actually, no. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Srivas Thakur didn't know. His mother-in-law was hiding behind this big, gigantic pot. And the singing began. Mahaprabhu started to dance. And he was gone. And he stopped. And he said, "Srivas Thakur, I'm not feeling my normal ecstasy. Someone is in here." Mahaprabhu said, I mean, Srivas said, Mahaprabhu, it's just your associates. So the kirtan started again. And again the Lord stopped. There's someone who's not pure here. I can feel it. I know it. So Srivas, look around, Srivas, see who you find. And behind his big, big pot, there was this elderly lady. And it was Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law. So he grabbed his mother-in-law and pushed her out the door. We don't have anything against mother-in-laws. But just to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not wanting anyone who was less than pure in this particular kirtan, Srivas Thakur did that. But Srivas Thakur's love for Lord Chaitanya is so deep and is so much respectful of Lord Chaitanya's mood that there's a beautiful story that happened in the house of Srivas Thakur. I'll tell this story. I know it's late and the class should end, but I'll end on this one. And tomorrow we can continue. Srivas Thakur's little son, he was 4 years old. He was sick, and he was very sick. And in another room in the house, he was laying in bed, surrounded by some of the relatives. And Mahaprabhu was in the other part of the house, and the kirtan began. And so, during the beginning of the kirtan, Srivas Thakur's son died. He died of a disease. The ladies in the house, the family members, became overwhelmed with emotion and started to cry because the son was dead. He died. And everyone was overwhelmed. So Srivas Thakur said, "Shh, quiet. Don't cry so loud. You'll disturb Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Cry quietly." This was Srivas. So the kirtan went on, and 7.5 hours later, when the sun started to rise up in the morning, Mahaprabhu stopped and he said, "Srivas." Srivas came. He said, "I feel there's some calamity has happened here." Srivas said, "My dear Lord, with your presence, how could there be any calamity? But since you asked, my son died." "When?" "About 7.5 hours earlier. Please take me to him." The Lord was taken into the room where the boy was laying on the bed. And Mahaprabhu immediately walked over to the boy, and with his hand, he put his hand right on the chest of the boy. And as soon as he did, the boy rose up. And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Where did you go?" And the boy said, "I'm your eternal servant. My time is in this body is up, and by your will, I'm going on." When everyone heard that, because the boy spoke for the benefit of everyone, everyone understood that by the will of the Lord, everything is happening, even death, even death. And after he spoke, the boy just laid back down and again was gone. Everyone was amazed to see the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show his love for Srivas and his whole family that he personally did the last rites for this boy. And he said, "Immediately prepare all the paraphernalia." They all went down to the Ganges to take the body of the boy down to the Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya officiated over the whole ceremony just to show his love for Srivas and his family. This is Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu loved his devotees more than he loved himself. Mahaprabhu loved his devotees more than he loved himself. His devotees, he felt, were everything. Anyone who did anything to his devotees that were offensive, he would become like fire. And there are many stories that describe how he, you know, punished sinners who offended. And Srivas Thakur was very popular, and he was known as a great devotee. So there was one kind of atheistic guy. And there was a lot of atheists at that time in Navadvipa. And they would always jeer the devotees, and make fun of them and say, oh, you guys are just chanting, you're just singing these cinema songs just to make you feel good because you're really intoxicated, that's all. They couldn't understand. So one of them wanted to defame Srivas. So what he did was one early in the morning, he took paraphernalia for worshiping Durga and he put it on the doorstep of Srivas Thakur, which was a bottle of wine, red rose, and some other paraphernalia, just to defame Srivas. Srivas came out the next morning, saw all the paraphernalia. And what did he do? He called all the people. He said, just see, now you know what I'm really like. This is who I am. He didn't think, wow, somebody's framing me, they're making me look bad. He didn't try to defend himself. He acted like it was normal. But everyone knew this was not him. That person, whose name was Gopal Chapala, 3 days later came down with leprosy. Severe case of leprosy. He had to leave the village. He was living on the banks of the Ganga and he was suffering so badly from his leprosy. One day Mahaprabhu came that way. He was walking in the same place. Gopal Chapala saw Mahaprabhu. He fell at his feet and begged the Lord, I'm suffering so much. Please relieve me of this suffering. You know what Mahaprabhu said? You think you're suffering now. This is just the beginning. This is Mahaprabhu. He could be, you know, soft as a rose, so sweet, so gentle, so loving, but at the same time, strict like a thunderbolt. He didn't tolerate offenses to his devotees. And so he said, hell is awaiting you. And then he walked on. This went on for about a month. And then Mahaprabhu again came that same way after a month. Gopal Chapala now was really, really, really in utter pain and suffering. And nobody would really give him any time. So he was suffering. He was, whatever little bit of food people threw him, he somehow lived. And then when he saw Mahaprabhu this time, with a complete heart full of repentance and contrition, he fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu and begged, please be merciful to me. Please, you have come to show mercy. I'm your prime candidate. So Mahaprabhu said, I can't show you mercy, but if you go to Srivas Thakur, if he forgives you, then everything will be but normal again. So somehow or other, he picked himself up, found Srivas Thakur, fell at his feet, and Srivas Thakur wasn't the slightest bit disturbed. He immediately forgave him, and that person, and all his leprosy actually disappeared. And that person, I can't remember his name, it starts with a D, became one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya and took initiation. He wanted to take initiation from Srivas Thakur, but Srivas Thakur said, you go to this other person, I think his name was Vamsidhari, and said, you go and you take initiation from him. If he gives you initiation, then you can become, you know, associate also. And he did. And that person, his heart and mind was so moved by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he writes beautiful songs and poetry glorifying the devotees. That's all he does, is glorify the devotees. He doesn't speak about the Lord. He speaks about the Lord in relationship to the devotees. How glorious, how merciful, how kind, how wonderful, how rare it is to get such association of the great devotees. And he shows by his example how glorious the devotees are. Maybe tomorrow I'll bring some of his, I have it on my computer, his prayers, beautiful prayers. And he became one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya. So that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's so strict, but yet he can also change everything around and make everyone, someone, a great devotee. So I know this is a day for breakfast, so it's getting close to that time, so I don't want to disturb the schedules too much. So, but tomorrow we'll continue and speak a little bit more about Mahaprabhu, and especially his kirtan in the house of Chandkazi. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, and Sri Nityananda Rama ki, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.